Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Thank you. Lord, we worship you. We give you glory this morning, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you that you first loved us. You laid down your life on that cross because you loved us, Lord. And Lord, we are grateful. And Lord, you rose from the dead the third day. You are alive forevermore. You have the keys of hell and death. You're the only Savior, the only true God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the only true refuge in this storm. We look to you, Lord Jesus, and we pray. We pray that many, many, many more find you before it's too late. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. What an awesome song. We had to do that one twice. For those of you just joining us, you didn't hear it the first time. We got a monitor problem up here. I don't know if you're aware of the yellow fuzz we got going on. Hallelujah. Let me click on my PowerPoint this morning. Got a lot to share with you this morning. Hallelujah. But let me just say this as we, before we get into this morning. Of course, those of you in here, you can see that this is part two from last week. It had departing from the faith. It's funny, last night I was going to bed about 12:30, heading toward bed, and still didn't know what the Lord wanted me to preach on, but it's amazing when he just speaks to you. It was about to get in bed, and he just said, "Departing from the faith, part two." I was like, and then it just kind of downloaded. So I was like, "Oh, well, that's easy." So I had to get up this morning and get my act together, right? But God is good. Let me just say this: pastors, the gospel should hear from God, not just preach what they decide to preach. Amen. That's really part of the problem that we are facing in this world. It's too much man involved, not enough God. And that's something else I want to say is that, you know, I want everybody here and I want everybody watching, listening, our church family is scattered all over the world. Found out today we're having people from Slovakia coming to the conference. One gentleman said it's the first time he's been to the States. That's pretty cool. We've got people coming from England, Sweden, of course, Canada. And that's just a few that I know about right now. I didn't even know about Slovakia until yesterday. But God is doing something. But let me just say this. I want everybody to join me in this prayer that I've been praying yesterday, this morning, and really for the last few months. But what I would like you to be praying for our church, for our services, for our upcoming conference. I'm going to do a mini conference at the Fire and Grace Church in Raleigh the end of the month. But what I want you guys to pray for, I want you to pray that the power and presence of God will just come down. Because apart from that, we have nothing. Words are not enough. Yes, we have to preach the truth and sound doctrine and all that's important. But really, even with the preaching and teaching of God's word, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon it and anoint it and the presence of God doesn't come down upon it, it's pretty much worthless, because it takes the presence of God to take that word and penetrate people's hearts and minds, their spirit, their soul, and to make a difference. And so please be praying that. I'm praying, you know, when I start thinking about people coming from Slovakia and England and Sweden and Ireland, we're going to have some people. And I think, wow, Lord, I don't want them coming all this way to just another conference, to just another, you know, information dispenser. I want the presence of God to come and meet them. So please be praying for that, because the Lord only shows up where he is really wanted. You know, I was thinking about that song a minute ago. When you walk into the room, everything changes. And that's what the Lord did to me I remember 1987, you know, when he walked back into my life and revealed himself to me. That's why I tell you the honest truth. I marvel that anyone who's ever really come to know Jesus Christ in a real powerful way, I marvel that some of those people fall away and depart from the faith. But they do. Now, I know we have church denominations out there say, oh, well, if they departed from the faith and they never were saved to begin with, that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, and I'm going to address that today. There are some people that never were truly saved and depart from Christianity. But there are truly some people who have been born again. They've encountered Jesus in a powerful way, and yet they fall away. They walk away. They depart. People say, oh, wait a minute now. No God, no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. No, no one can by force. If you look that up, and you'll find that no one by force can snatch you away from God. But God will not hold you against your will. You have to choose to follow. You have to choose to obey. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to keep your commitment to Him. And the Bible warned us, as I shared last week and we're going to get back into this week, that in the last days in particular, there would be a falling away, an apostasy, a departing from the faith. Jesus said, many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. And, boy, is it happening left and right now. Here's the verse that we started out with last week. I should say the passage, 1 Timothy 1 and 2 here. Let's read it. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, particularly that means the last days, right before the return of Jesus, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, last week I talked a little bit about, I didn't go into the article, I may go into it a little further, about the guy who wrote the best-selling book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, just recently came out he's leaving his faith in Jesus. He's leaving Christianity, that he's divorcing his wife. He's no longer a minister. He was the pastor of a church for like 20 years, and now he's apologizing to the LGBT community for, you know, saying homosexuality is wrong and a sin. And I just got to thinking about that, and I talked about that last week in the first part of this. And then the very next day, one of the Hillsong's writers, songwriters, and worship leaders comes out and pretty much says the same thing. And I thought, wow, you know, now let me just say this. I think some of these people, some of these high-profile people that allegedly are famous, well-known Christians were plant to begin with, and it's just there to make Christianity look bad. But some, we have to stick with the word on this too. Some truly did know Jesus. They did walk with the Lord. They did know the Word of God pretty good. And we're going to see what Hebrews has to say about that in a second. But there are people departing from the faith. And I've said this many times. So you can't depart from a faith that you never had. It's the same thing as saying that you could jump off a table that you never climbed up on. Can't do it. You can't get out of a car that you never got into. All right? So this is truly, this verse here, this passage in 1 Timothy is talking about people who were truly saved, who truly were born again at some point. They knew Jesus, they encountered Jesus, but they departed from the faith because they listened to seducing spirits, demon spirits, and doctrines or teachings that come from demons, from devils, from Satan. And these teachings can be masked as sweet little religious sermonettes for Christianettes. All right. A doctrine of a demon can sound like the sweetest thing you ever heard. All right. And this is why the deception is so real. Here's the Christian Post article, August 12, 2019, Hillsong writer, I'm genuinely losing my faith. All right. Now, Can I just say that us as a church stopped using Hillsong music probably about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe longer, probably 2013. So what is it? Now, there's reasons for that, because their founding pastor, Mr. Brian Houston, has become a complete heretic and gone completely stupid if he wasn't from the beginning. I saw the video myself where he said that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. That was the first wrong step. But the fact, too, you'll see in a minute that he covered up for his pedophile father for years. And he's even possibly going to be under arrest for not reporting his father's serial sexual abuse of children while he was one of the heads of the Assemblies of God in Australia. All right. So when you go to a church like this, I can see where you might start losing your faith. Okay? If it was real to begin with. But I thought that there were some things that I really felt the Lord, when he downloaded this to me, reminded me of this article. Some things he said that need to be addressed, because he says they're not addressed. Well, yeah, they're not addressed in seeker-sensitive, lukewarm, worldly, watered-down megachurch Christianity in America. They're not talked about. We talk about them here, but they don't talk about them. Why? Because people start walking out the doors. That's why they don't talk about some of these things. That's the dude right there. What's his name? Marty Sampson or something like that. We'll get to that in a second. Oh, need my water there. But let's continue on through this here. Of course, as I said a minute ago, sexual abuse victim pursues Hillsong's Brian Houston over crimes of his father. Not because a man is held accountable for what his father has done, but because he covered it up for years and actually lied about it for years on the Hillsong website. Lied about it. Paid hush money to some abuse victims. He failed to report that too when he was being deposed. Pretty disturbing stuff. Of course, you can find all this. All this is not, rumor. I mean, all of this is very disturbing. That's the father, Brian Houston. Reverend William Francis Frank Houston, founder of Hillsong Church, over 400 boy sex abuse victims. Self-confessed pedophile, confessed to lifelong secret child sex abuse of little boys. And it goes on down the list. If he was still alive, he would be in prison. Okay? But, of course, Brian Houston covered it up. I don't know why he hasn't resigned yet over this. But Pastor Houston, the current head of Hillsong Church, has been recommended for prosecution for pedophile protection crimes in Australia. And, again, this is not some trumped-up government false charge. This has all come out. Victims have come out, and I could play video clip this morning, but of course then YouTube would have, disregarded fair use law and stopped this video on YouTube. So I decided not to play a clip. But the article about Mr. Worship Leader Marty Sampson from Hillsong, this is what he said. I'm going to read this because as Christians, we need to deal with this stuff, and we need to understand that it's happened. Says Marty Sampson, a prolific worship music writer known for his work with Hillsong Worship, Hillsong United, Delirious, and Young and Free, revealed that he is losing his faith and believes Christianity is just another religion. Now, either that is an agenda or just pure ignorance, because anybody that knows the history, the archaeology, the manuscript evidence, anybody that knows the truth about Christianity knows that one thing is true. It's not like any other religion. Everybody knows that. It's not just another religion. There is no other religion. You know, there's over 300 Bible prophecies given thousands of years and some hundreds of years before Jesus was born, before he came, before he died on the cross, before he rose from the dead. 300 prophecies that foretell his coming. And then there are hundreds and hundreds more than that that foretell his second coming. There is no other religious book that did that. The Quran doesn't do that. The Hindu Vedas didn't do that. The writings of Buddhism, nothing. Not the Gnostic writings, none of that. So, again, either he's absolutely ignorant and never got grounded in his faith in the truth, or this is part of the agenda. But that shows right there, you are either ignorant, stupid, or lying. Just going to be honest with you, because this is not hard to find. All this stuff's well documented in history, archaeology, manuscript, Dead Sea Scrolls. We could go on down the list. But then he says this, he says, time for some real talk. The Australian writer wrote in a since deleted post on Instagram. I don't know why he deleted it. But I'm genuinely losing my faith, he said, and it doesn't bother me. Remember what that verse said a minute ago? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, this didn't happen overnight with Mr. Marty. And let me just go on and say, worship leaders are the flakiest members of any church, usually. They're either really close to the Lord or they're really weird. And most homosexual leanings. I'm just being honest. I've seen it in church after church after church for 30-something years. All right? They're either real men of God or they're almost, you know, they're on the doorstep of homosexuality. All right? At least effeminate spirit. And but what is interesting when he says it doesn't bother me, this shows that this man's conscience is now seared. The term seared with a hot iron means like when you burn yourself real good and then it burns that skin and that skin turns hard, and in that spot you don't feel anymore. And our conscience, God put in us, is in our spirit. It's part of our spirit. And our conscience is that built-in ability that God's given us, that ability to know instinctively what's right and what's wrong. And so when you know the truth and you walk away from it, or you know what sin is and you choose, I'm going to do it anyway, every time you do that, every time you reject truth and every time you choose sin and wickedness, you are hardening and callousing over your conscience, your heart. And you can get to the place, the book of Romans talks about, you can get to the place where you are past feeling. And this is what it talks about. People who, he talked about it, and we'll go to Romans in a minute. But he talks about people who give themselves over to fornication and give themselves over to homosexuality to the point that they get past feeling. And God himself even says, I'm giving them over to a reprobate mind. You are in big trouble when the Lord says, I'm done with you. Now, modern Christianity thinks that doesn't exist, that there's never a point of no return. But that's not true. And it's happening. He goes on to say, I'm genuinely losing my faith. It doesn't bother me. Like, what bothers me now is nothing. So anything goes, I guess. Hey, Marty. I'm so happy now, so at peace with the world, it's crazy. Yeah, you're at peace with the world now, because for the Christian, the world is the enemy. Made peace with the world system. Well, of course, once you stop fighting Satan and you choose his side, you will have, he will not be at war with you. But if you're going to be a true born-again Christian, you're going to be at war with everything about the culture and every demonic, devilish, demonic force that's in this world. You are at war with that because you are on the side of the kingdom of light, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the true God. You've chosen his side, and the devil who runs most of this world is not happy about it. But yeah, you give in and you become the poster boy of walking away from Christianity that now seems to be the hip and cool thing to do. Oh yeah, the devil will just, I'm sure he's going to get book offers and secular recording offer. Oh, it's going to pour upon him from the world because he's now friends with the world. But the Bible says to be friend with the world is to be enemy of God. Real simple. So let's keep going here. Now, this is where it gets really interesting because he pretty much tells you the whole thing. This is what he says here. This is a soapbox moment. So here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. True. What does that have to do with Jesus and the Word of God? Jesus had one of his own 12 fall. Actually, he had two fall. One made it back, one didn't. It's not new. How many preachers fall? Many, he continued. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. We're going to deal with that in a second, too. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? Somebody, please show me one. Everybody says that, but show me one. And I'll show you where you're ignorant of the context or the language or something else. But it's not. This is something that just gets on my nerves all the time. Because most of the people that say that, when you ask them to show you one, they can't. When you explain to them why, even if they pick an apparent contradiction and you show them how it's not, they still don't want to hear it. But again, this is just a lie. This sounds like an unbeliever, doesn't it? And then he goes on to say, no one talks about it. That's baloney. Theologians have been dealing with these aspects and these arguments of contradictions for hundreds of years. He said, how can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? Now, he's talking about hell. He can use the word. So he's got a problem with God's, the side of God that is wrath and judgment and punishment for sins and wickedness. I wonder if he thinks that the pedophile father went to heaven. I wonder if he thinks pedophiles go to heaven. These people begin to blow my mind because they begin to set up their own standard. Is God just going to let serial killers and pedophiles and anybody else in heaven? No, if they don't confess their sin and repent and ask for forgiveness, I don't care. And some of them may even be past that. Remember, we forget this verse in Hebrews 12 where it said Esau sought repentance with tears but could not find it. There's going to be some people crying, wanting to repent, and God's going to be, I'm not hearing it anymore from you. I'm done with you. See, this is what no one preaches. You know, the good old-fashioned fear of the Lord, the Bible calls it the beginning of wisdom. The modern church doesn't want anything to do with that. And we don't want anything to do with the fact that God is not good all the time. Sometimes he is judge, punisher, and executioner because wickedness and rebellion and evil has to be punished and stopped and separated from the rest of us. I marvel at the people that want to deny hell when we lock people up in prisons right now to keep them from raping and killing and maiming the rest of us, because like people like Ted Bundy said, if you let me out, I'm going to do it again. And so in our world, we separate people and put them in a place apart from the rest of us, and somehow we think God is somehow not loving if he takes the evil people and he's going to separate them from us for eternity. I've said something about that before, about heaven wouldn't be heaven if he let everybody in. See, it's something you don't get. You're going to have your free will for eternity. You don't want to love God now. You don't want to serve God now. You don't want to obey God now. He knows what choices you're going to make now, tomorrow, and for all eternity. And if he knows what you're going to choose, he has the right whether to let you in heaven or put you in hell for all eternity. And if he knows that you're going to be a rebel, an evil person, he's not going to let you corrupt his house. And what's funny is these same people that complain about the doctrine of hell, of eternal damnation and separation from God, these same people that talk about that I will also say, well, why doesn't God stop evil? Well, he's going to. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a stop put to wicked people. There's going to be a separation between the wicked and the righteous. And guess what? It's the wickedness that God judges, not what you judge is right or wrong. It's what he judges right or wrong. Also knowing everything about the past, the present, and the future. So guess what? He can judge perfectly. And some people will be put in hell. Now, hell has different degrees of punishment. Not everyone's going to receive the same punishment in hell. Some are going to burn. Some are going to be tortured and tormented. Because think about this. Think about this for a minute. Somebody like Hitler, or somebody like a serial child rapist, or it's like some of these people like Hillary Clinton and some of these others that have been trafficking little kids and torturing them until they get all their adrenaline pumped up in their blood so they can drink that adrenalized blood. And they've been doing this for years, kidnapping kids off the street and torturing them and then using them and then sacrificing them to the devil. You think those people are going to go to heaven? You don't think that there's a reason there is a hell, that God made a hell? It ain't about, you know, he says, oh, it's just because they don't believe. No, it's because they're sinners, they are wicked, they are rebels, they are evil. And we have all been that. And there's only one way to be forgiven, and there's only one way to have a changed heart. And that is through Jesus Christ, the true creator, God who became man, who died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, rose from the dead, and he tells us the only way you're going to overcome this, come to me, and I'll forgive you, I'll wash you, and not only that, I will change you. I will give you a new heart. There is no other way. And what I marvel at right now, we're seeing this falling away. We've seen these people depart from the faith. But there's something happening, and I said it last week, but there's a revival happening. It's like an underground river. You know, everybody knows I'm writing a book on biblical creation, cosmology. One whole chapter is about atheists coming to Jesus. Just in the last few years. And there's very little commentary. This chapter is about 5,000 words, about 15 pages long. Very little commentary for me. It's just one after the other after the other. It's funny that we're in a time where atheists are coming to Jesus like I've never seen before, and so-called Christians are departing from the faith. It's amazing. The wheat and the tares are growing up together. He goes on to say, Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. Well, it's not a planet. We'll deal with that too. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people, but it's not for me. It's not for me. Okay, Marty. Think about this. The one who wrote, "All I Need Is You," said he's not in anymore and desires genuine truth. So you know what that's saying is, Jesus is not the truth. The Bible's not the truth. I now have that I've departed from the faith. I have genuine truth. Now that's called the doctrine of a demon. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you're going to say, I'm walking away from Jesus. Now I have genuine truth. No, you have the worldly satanic version, your own truth you've created. Not the truth. Even Pilate had enough sense to know he didn't know what the truth was. He asked Jesus, what is the truth? This is a fool right here. Old Pastor Dean shouldn't call people fool. Let me tell you, you need to read Proverbs. Here's the wise man, here's the fool, over and over and over again. Right? Let's look at this. Here's the verse. He said there were not many miracles. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you, back in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, I saw all kinds of miracles. I saw deaf ears open. I saw crippled people walk. Cancers disappear instantly. Every manner of sickness and disease. And I thought, you know, Lord, he's right. It hadn't been happening very much lately. Why? Well, listen, from the 80s until now, we have a much, much more watered down Christianity and version than we had back then. That's just a fact. So we've moved more and more into what? A wicked generation. And what did Jesus say? Let's read this here. Matthew 16, 1 through 4. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Show us a miracle, Jesus. Now, Jesus is going around healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. And these religious hypocrites want more. Oh, I want it on my terms. I want it right here where I'm standing in front. And what does Jesus say to them? He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites. I love Jesus. See, people, I call somebody a hypocrite, and they say, oh, Pastor, it's a meanie. You need to be more loving, Pastor Dean. Don't call people hypocrites. Oh, ye hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and what? There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah, and he left them and departed. Let me tell you something. These people, these religious people, they don't really love Jesus. They love their position. They love their religious traditions. They love the money and the fame and the attention. That's what they love, like the Pharisees. You don't go to Jesus. I demand you do me a sign now. When he already knows they are wicked. And it says he departed. That's why, look, if you go to Revelation 3 and you look at the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, and I pointed this out a few weeks ago, Jesus is on the outside of that church knocking. They get in. People use that for somebody that's not saved. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Let him in. That's not what that is even talking about. He's knocking on the door of a church that has put him out because they're wicked. Now, if Jesus is not in your midst, if he's not around, do you wonder why there are no healings and miracles and deliverances? Because he's not in your church. You may have a big church, you may have a lot of people, but it doesn't mean Jesus is there. But we talk about Jesus. So did the church of Laodicea. He said, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He said, I'm knocking at your door, Laodicea. Let me in. A lot of churches, Jesus is nowhere around, but the machine keeps rolling. And you know what hypocrite means? Pretenders, actors. What is an actor? Somebody who is not really real. They're not really what they appear to be. Now, some people are doing this intentionally, but let me just go on and tell you. There's a lot of people who really believe they're Christians. There's a lot of pastors that think they're Christians. And they're going to hear the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, the rude awakening's coming. It's called Judgment Day. It's called the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's keep going here. Oh, do I have this slide twice? Yes, I do. Let's go to this verse here. This passage, I should say, in John chapter 6. Everybody forgets this one. Most people like to stop reading this around verse 40, this chapter. But here's what it says. Now remember, Jesus just finished telling him, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me, right? And they were losing their minds over this. Because, of course, they're thinking he's talking about cannibalism or something. So they're losing their minds. And Jesus even tells them, look, you don't get it. You don't hear what I'm saying. And he was talking, because the whole time he's talking about, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Basically, what he's saying is, you have to have me in you. I'm your strength. I'm your sustainer. Just like your food sustains your physical body, I'm the only one that's going to be able to sustain you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, eternally. They couldn't grasp it. And Jesus even told them, he said, look, what the words I'm telling you, they're spiritual. They're not physical. He tries to tell them, but they still don't get it. And this is what I'm saying. When you start to go to Jesus, you know what, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just too hard. This is where a lot of people are on the subject of hell. It's just too hard to handle. Judgment, the second coming, the wrath of God, the anger of God. People don't even remember the verse. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. They always want to talk about God loves the sinner. Yes, he does. How many of you ever been angry? How many of you had children, have children in here? You ever been angry at a child, but love them at the same time? Absolutely. Believe me. I know all about that. John 60, and we're going to read John 6, 60 through 67 here. He said, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, when you start complaining about what Jesus taught, whether it's the doctrine of hell, whether it's the doctrine of repentance, whether it's the doctrine of falling away, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, mate. Whenever you start saying, you know what, I just don't, that's just too hard, I just don't. Who can listen to this? Oh, you're headed down a dangerous road. Remember Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended at me. Let me tell you, when you don't understand something, that's when you trust the Lord, and that's when you dig in deeper. It's not a reason. There's never a reason to walk away. Oh, but Pastor Dean, there's a reason. No. You get what I'm saying? If you love him, you're not walking away because there's something you don't understand, or it's a bad day, or maybe it's a bad year. But he says here, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Now, the word offend in the Greek is the Greek word scandalon. But it's where we get our word scandal from. But what it really means, the picture it poses, is you being tripped or, you know, stumble over something, or you're like your foot's caught in a snare or a trap and you fall. And Jesus is saying, does this offend you? What I'm saying, does this offend you? Does this make you stumble and fall? Isn't it amazing that there are people stumbling and falling over what Jesus has said? There's many stumbling and falling over the doctrine of eternal hell and damnation. There's many stumbling and falling over homosexuality. Well, it doesn't matter who you love. No, but it matters who you're having sex with. Uh-oh, don't shout me down. It got kind of quiet in here. Pause in here like a Lutheran church or something. See, if you take that all the way, then guess what? It doesn't matter if you love children, too, the way they love each other. Because if you have any ideas that it's not going down that road to make pedophilia and child molestation okay, then you are sadly mistaken, because they're pressing to make it acceptable. But he says here, does this offend you? And he says, Jesus says, verse 62, and what if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickens or gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now look at verse 66. Isn't it interesting that this is John 6:66? What does he say here? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I've had people tell me, Dean, you preach too hard. You're pushing people away. Same thing they said, it is too hard. And people left Jesus. He was the perfect teacher, the perfect shepherd, the perfect prophet, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And people walked away from him. Let me tell you something. If all you're doing is, if all you're doing out there, pastors, is trying to build a big church and you don't really lose people, because you don't preach the Word of God. You preach a nice little self-help message. And of course, then Jesus, now this is amazing. He turns to the 12 and he says, will you also go away? Now, I didn't have room on this slide, but Peter goes, where do we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Basically, we may not even understand what you're saying here, but we know. We know you are the Lord. You are the Messiah. You are the resurrection and the life. And we don't really care whether we understand it all or we get it all or anything. We're following you. We're sticking with you. That's what's important. Let's keep going. Oh, Marty, 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 Marty. So here, he says, not that I just believe it kind of truth, he wrote. Science keeps piercing the truth of every religion. Science. He says, lots of things help people change their lives, not just one version of God. Science. When I read that, of course, I'm sitting here writing a book about creation, the truth, what the Bible says, what we are beginning to be able to prove. And I thought, yeah, where does this falling away because of false science, where does this start? It starts with believing that we're a spinning ball flying through this vast vacuum called space, that this fairy tale we've been told. But most people have been, because we were brainwashed from children. And let me tell you something. It's not what the Bible describes as God's creation. The Copernican, heliocentric, spinning ball, vacuum of space, nonsense. The Bible teaches, even atheists, what does the Bible teach? A flat, stationary earth that is immovable, still, and at rest. Covered by a molten glass dome, heaven is above, hell is beneath. There is an up and a down in this world. There is a defined limit. There's a place called the ends of the earth. And now with high zoom cameras like the Nikon P900 and P1000, like we did at Mobile Bay, we're beginning to be able to prove that there's no 8 inches per mile squared of curvature of the earth. And let me tell you, if it's not curved, then every picture we've seen, and I should say alleged picture we've seen from NASA or Russia or China of the earth is a lie, because they always show it as a perfect sphere. Yet, when it's tested with real science, which is testable, repeatable, observable, measurable, there is no curve. And if there is no curve, then every image you've seen from space is a lie. How can Earth, be with its thin vapor atmosphere, be up against a 10 to the negative 17 power Tor vacuum and our atmosphere not be ripped off. There are so many inconsistencies. But see, this is what we call science. Remember, you know, Pastor Dean's crazy. He's a flat earther. No, I'm a biblical earther. And it's not only what the Bible says, it's what I have tested myself. 12 miles, 13 miles across Mobile Bay. Seeing stuff you shouldn't see. If it's, listen, 8 inches per mile squared just at 10 miles. Get that. At 10 miles, 66.6 feet of curvature should be there. That's almost a seven-story building. Yet when we did our test, we could see boats in the water at 12 miles, where the hull met the water. I even confirmed it with Alabama Department of Transportation, how high the bridges were that I was seeing from 12 miles away coming out of Battleship Park when we were in Fairhope. And I had DOT engineers, ALDOT engineers, tell me that bridge is 16 feet off the water. Well, I'm not supposed to be able to see anything below 66, and really where we were, closer to 80 feet. These are facts. But see, it starts there. But yet, remember, the same people that tell you that you're on a spinning ball flying through space and it's curved, it's a ball 25,000 miles in circumference. These same people tell you that you came from monkeys and that a big explosion, how many years, 13, 14 billion years ago, a big explosion caused everything that you see. But see, we forget that the Bible says, Psalm 19 says, that the sun moves in a circuit over the earth, not the earth going around the sun. And the same psalm says, by the King David, the same psalm says that nothing in God's creation escapes the heat of our sun. How can there be galaxies hundreds of billions of light years away when God said the sun, our sun, nothing in his creation escapes the heat of it. No. That's just, you cannot believe the Bible while at the same time say you believe anything pretty much from modern science. And I'm talking about when it comes to the origins of the heavens and the earth and mankind, because they say you came from a monkey, right? This was what boggles me. The evolutionists, the professors here at Auburn, a guy I grew up with who is, I can't remember exactly what he teaches or where he teaches. He and I went back and forth for a while. Atheist guy. But evolution is a fact. I was like, really? Why aren't things still evolving? Where's the half monkey man? Where's even a skeleton of a half monkey man? There's been millions and 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 millions of years of that. We should have some fossil evidence of that, but we don't. And somebody just did the mathematics on what it would take for all the things to be right to come together to create one little living amoeba. One little living cell. It's like winning the lottery 100 million times over. No, we are not here by chance. We didn't come from a Big Bang, which that theory came from a Jesuit priest, Lemaître. And if you believe a Jesuit priest, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. If you ever believe a Jesuit, anything that comes out of their mouth. But we didn't come from a Big Bang. And let me ask you something else, too. You know, people forget the sun, according to Genesis, the sun was created on day 4. The heavens and the earth were created, right? God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then day four, we get to, and let there be two great lights, not a great light and a reflector. Let there be two great lights inside the firmament, not outside, 93 million miles away. That's nonsense. Do you know that Copernicus that came up with the whole spinning ball thing and that we orbit the sun? Well, he got that from the occult, demonic, satanic writings of Hermeticism. So it's religion, right? But that he said the sun was 3 million miles away. A little over. Now, according to the modern science, he was only off by 90 million miles. The next guy comes along and says, no, it's 12 million and change. And then we had another one come along and say, no, it's 95 million. Scientists. These are scientists. No, it's 104 million. Oh, no, but now it's 93. How do you measure these distances? Because we saw a twinkle. That's how we measure them. Oh, I know, redshift, blueshift, blah, shut up. Hubble doesn't even exist. I'm frying people's brains right now. I know some people have never heard this. Some of you have. Most of you have. But Hubble doesn't exist. There's no data. NASA has a data site on all launches. Right? They have off-site data. There's no data for the heaviest launch in the history of mankind. There are no pictures or no videos of putting Hubble together. There's no assets viewing Hubble. What you have is cartoons. Anyway, science. Monkey man on a spinning ball, flying through space. Yet the view of our star. Look, they tell us that not only is the Earth orbiting the sun. This to me is the proof. You want proof? This one. This is simple. They tell us we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour. They say we're orbiting the sun at around 67 or 66,000 miles an hour, depending on what scientist you talk to. And then they say that our entire Milky Way galaxy is flying through the ever-expanding universe, even though God said that what he made was good and done. He was finished. Yet they say it's still expanding. But that we're flying through this universe at 500,000 miles an hour. Yet, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, Polaris has always been in the same spot, the North Star. Don't give me the parallax crap. We fly 500,000 miles an hour for thousands of years. Your view of the stars will change. Yet every night I can go and look in my backyard and I can watch at a certain time the constellation Orion come up in the same spot and move across the sky in the same way every single night if there's no clouds. Yet we believe what the priest of Copernicus in the white robes say because they're scientists. But we won't believe our own eyes. Yep, that's right. Wait a minute. Y'all feel it spinning? God said, the sun, the moon, the stars, they move, not us. The earth is immovable, fixed, still, at rest. And I'm going to tell you right now, NASA knows it. For those of you new to all this, I'm about to write the chapter of the book. I did the message a year ago on government documents admit a flat, non-rotating Earth over and over and over again. They're in government, NASA, Army, Navy, Air Force technical manuals. Why? Because they have to design missiles and artillery and airplanes to work the way things are, not the way they've lied to you about what they are. And the reason they've lied to you is because they want to turn you from the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth about creation. But let me tell you, that whole chapter in my book about atheists coming to Jesus is because there is not just the Bible says, we can prove it now. I can take you to Mobile with me and I can show you that the 66 feet of curvature is not there. We had people walk up when we were on the beach. We've done it like, what, 3 or 4 times now? People walk up and they say, come here, look through the camera, look through the telescope. What do you see? Oh, I see a ship in Mobile Port. You know that's 12 miles away, right? I can tell you what kind of ship. There's only one answer to that. It's not a curve. There's no curve there. It's not a ball. And people are doing these. They're doing these tests with high-zoom cameras and telescopes and lasers. That's why that the flat earth movement has millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. And there's millions of people that are flat earthers, or I should say biblical earthers, who don't admit it because everybody around them would say they're crazy because everybody else is still brainwashed. And the worst brainwashed people are the lukewarm Christians. There's no way you get a flying, spinning, tilted, spiraling, flying galaxy out of this book. Nope. So, again, but most Christians don't believe the Bible anyway. They just, you know, they need something to make them feel good about themselves. Okay. All right, let's keep going. That's my little talk about science for the day. Is there true science? Yes, there's true science. Absolutely, there's true science. But not everything that says it's science is science. A lot of, listen, when you have somebody with the title of theoretical physicist, what does that mean? I can tell you what it means because I've listened to them. It means I get paid to make up crap. I get paid to theorize how we all came from stardust, one of the most famous theoretical physicists and astronomers. What's his name? Lawrence Krauss of the University, Arizona State University. He says, we all come from stardust. Forget Jesus. The stars died and exploded so you could be alive right now. Forget Jesus. That's his word. He's a theoretical physicist. That means I make up crap, call it science when it's really philosophy and religion and theology. But folks say, oh, it came from a scientist from the university, the Arizona State University. Lawrence Krauss, he has a PhD in theoretical astrophysics. And then people go, but what I'm saying is Christians go, oh, I believe him. I don't believe the Bible. That's why there's a falling away. There's one major reason why there's a falling away. He's got a white coat on. He must be right. That's why doctors kill people all the time, right? They're always right, huh? Here's what Timothy, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit really through the Apostle Paul said to Timothy about this science. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He's talking about the gospel, the word of God, the truth about creation and everything else. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings like the stars exploded so we could be alive. That's profane and vain babblings of a crazy man who theorizes about space. He says oppositions, he says avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science. He's talking about the oppositions of science against the word of God. He addressed this 2,000 years ago. Of science falsely so-called. Science falsely so-called. If you can't prove it, observe it, test it, measure it, repeat it, it's not science. It's false science. So there's real science and there's pseudoscience. All right? And he says, look, what does he say here? Which some professing have erred concerning faith. Science has led people astray. And that's what Mr. Marty listed as one of the reasons, not all, but one, why he's departed from Christianity. But there's an awakening happening, y'all. Trust me, it's going to be growing in the next few years, growing, growing. That's why, listen, if this was a foolish, let me just go on and say this. If this was a foolish theory, flat earth, the firmament, don't. Heaven above that. You know, God talks about God, there's an emerald rainbow around God's throne. And all around the north, there's that beautiful green light that shines through the firmament. And God's showing us, just like my word says, if you guys choose to believe the nutcases in the white jackets. But there's so many witnesses to all this. But he says, he tells us, this is what leads people astray. But this awakening, I'm telling you, it's going to be growing in the days ahead. Because more and more stuff is coming out, more and more evidence, more and more ways to prove. Somebody sent me in the mail. I get some interesting stuff. One of the most interesting gifts that I got in the mail is a level 5 laser. I haven't even used it yet. We were shining it downstairs from one end of the building to the other, and just the dot on the wall was blinding me, like the sun. Can't wait to use that thing across Mobile Bay. God's good. Of course, professing, he says here, some professing science, getting into science. What does it mean here? Well, the Greek word means to engage in. You get engaged in it. And when God said avoid it, have nothing to do. And again, I marvel the Christians who say, I don't believe in the monkey man theory. I don't believe my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad was a monkey.